All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let us begin. A beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is daf Dalid. We are picking up on Gimel Amud Beis. At the last words on lines are Neshef Artahu. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17 lines up from the bottom. So Rabbi, say first of all to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors of the month of Teves. All the learning, the Shiurim and Drashos have been dedicated this month by Shirley Elbaum, together with their sons, Avron, Judah, Sean, and Judah and family, in memory of their beloved husband and father, Jerry Elbaum, and in commemoration of his 10th yard site, the Sham Shtav and Aliyah, and the family in Nechama. Also, a thank you to Robert Lilienfeld for dedicating all of the Shiurim this week, in memory and the Ilui Nishmas, his mother. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Nesham will have an Aliyah, and the family in the Chama. And I'll say with that, let us begin. So if you remember again, we were speaking about the concept of David HaMelech's sleep patterns. So the Gemara was speaking about the concept that Neshef, that David HaMelech was up already before Chatzos, but rather again, he was up already from Neshef, to which the Gemara of Neshef Artu, is that true that Neshef means, evening? V'ha Neshef Tzafrahu. Neshef ultimately again means morning. Dichsiv vayakim David mehan neshef viad ha'erev l'macharasam. The pasuk says, speaking about the one of David HaMelech's wars, that David HaMelech literally smote his enemy mehan neshef viad ha'erev l'macharasam, from the neshef until the next erev. So does that not mean my love mitzafra va'ad laila? Does that not mean that David HaMelech smote his enemies from morning until evening? In which case, again, Neshef does not refer ultimately again to evening. Rather, Neshef refers to morning. Lo, me'arta va'ad arta. No, rather, again, it means that David HaMelech was engaged in battle from evening until evening, a 24-hour period. Iyachi, if that's the case, lichtov me'a Neshef vi'ad ha'Neshef. If that's the case, why does the Navi use a different word? If Neshef really means from one evening until another evening, then let it say Neshef until Neshef, or Erev until Erev. Use the same word in both parts of the Pasuk. Ela Amar Rava, Shrei Nashriyavu. Rather, Rava says, in fact, interestingly enough, the word Neshef does not actually refer to night or to day. Rather, what does Neshef, rather, instead, is a descriptive word. Rather, it means as follows. Trei nashri havu. There are two neshefs, so to speak. The Gemara says, neshef laila va'asi yama. When the night departs, when the night leaves, the day comes. Neshef yamama va'asi laila. When the day leaves, then the night comes. So I will say, interestingly enough, we originally thought that neshef actually refers to either day or night. But in fact, neshef actually refers to the transition. Neshef means the leaving of one and the entering of the other. David, mihavi adapalga delaila. Emas, so did David HaMelech actually know when Chatzos was? Because we also remember, again, the pasuk says that David HaMelech got up at Chatzos to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Did David HaMelech know when actual Chatzos was? After all, hashtam ushrabenu lohavi yada. Dichsiv kechatzos alayla ani yosef yisok mitzrayim. So we'll say, remember again, Moshe Rabbeinu, when it comes to his description of Makas Bechoros. So he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kichatzos alayla. They're both literally translated, Kichatzos means what? Kichatzos means what? At about midnight. At about midnight. They're both saying, it appears that David HaMelech was saying, excuse me, that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying this because although Makas Bechoros was going to take place at midnight, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, sounds like, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know exactly when Chatzos was. My Kichatzos, Ile, not only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kuchabrichu, Kichatzos, Mi'ika Sveka, Kameshmaya. See, if you want to say that it's God Himself who said Kichatzos, like around Chatzos, that doesn't make sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything about the Ribono Shel Olam is exact. There's no like guesstimates by God. God doesn't say Kichatzos. God says Bichatzos, or Chatzos. Ela de Amarle. L'machar bechatzos ki ashta va'asihu va'amar kichatzos alma mesaf gelei. So ultimately, again, rather, it must have been HaKadosh Baruch Hu said bechatzos, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Avinu, I'm coming down to Egypt at chatzos. Moshe, when he conveys the information to Paro, says kichatzos. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu himself, God was certain when chatzos was. Moshe Rabbeinu himself was a bit mesupak. So ultimately, again, so it's interesting just to see, apparently King David knows exactly when midnight is, Chatzos. Moshe Rabbeinu yet himself was a bit musupuk, the David Havayada. So how could it be? The Gemara finds it very strange that David HaMelech would know something that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't. So here, David HaMelech knows exactly when Chatzos is. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know exactly when Chatzos is. So how do you reconcile that? To which the Gemara says, David HaVayada, David Simna HaVayada, David had a simen. David had a simen. What was his simen? Dam Rav Acha Bar Bizna, Rav Shneur says, so beautiful, Rav Shneur Chasida, Kinor Haya Taloi Lemala Memitaso Shal David. David HaMelech had a harp that was suspended over his bed. The Chavon Sheigia Chatzos Laila, and when Chatzos would come, Ba Ruach Tzifonis Veno Sheves Ba Umenagin Me'elav. So this is so beautiful. David HaMelech had a harp positioned over his bed, and ultimately again, when Chatzos would come, and apparently at Chatzos is when the northern wind blows, it would stroke the strings and produce music. Miyad Haya Omid Va'osek Batorah. In that moment, David HaMelech would get up. So we'll say, so essentially what the Gemara answers is that what? David HaMelech had an alarm clock. Right, David HaMelech had an alarm clock, by the way, with no snooze button. That's right, that's the godless of that kind of alarm clock, right? There's nothing, so really incredible. David HaMelech has this, which I will say, if you think about it, there's such an incredible idea over here. This notion that the Ruach Tzifonis, the northern wind, you know, would move the strings of the harp, almost as if the Ribono Shel Olam himself is awakening David HaMelech, like Kum La'avodas HaBorei. Going back to what we said yesterday, that when a person has a sense of purpose, when a person has a sense of mission, when a person has a sense of destiny, HaKadosh Baruch Hu awakens them also to be able to seize that destiny. Quite incredible. So what would happen? David HaMelech got up. What was David HaMelech's schedule? I will say this is incredible. Miyat Haya Omid Va'osek Batorah. David HaMelech would get up, and the first thing he would do is he would learn. Ad Sha'alam Oda Shachar, until dawn. Kevan Sha'alam Oda Shachar Nichnesu Chach Me'Yisrael Etzlo. So we'll say again, as soon as dawn came, remember, he's the king. As the king, he is responsible ultimately again for his constituents. So what would happen? His advisors would come in. Pretty amazing, right? The day starts at dawn. The advisors would come in. Amrulo Adoneinu HaMelech. Amcho Yisrael Tzrichin Parnasa. So we'll say, so what's the first order of business? Things don't change. The first order of business is Parnasa. Klal Yisrael needs Parnasa, king. Amar lahem, no problem. Luchu vis Parnasu zom ze mize. Why can't we support one another? In order to go out, again, so the idea being over here, there's rich people, there's poor people, that's always the way that it is. So ultimately, again, let everyone work in concert together and go ahead and create Parnasa. Amrulo, in akomis masbias hari. They said to him, a little bit of grain does not satisfy the lion, which was another way of saying that internally our economy is not self-sufficient. Ve'in habar mismalim mechuyos. So this is incredible. And you can't go ahead and fill the pit with its own dirt. So also what that means is if you dig a pit, and then you want to take that same dirt and fill back in the pit does not become full in the same way with its own dirt. So the idea that they're telling him is almost like an economic statement that lemaisa, again, our economy, we cannot support ourselves. Amar lahem, no problem. Luchu, upashtu yideichem bigdud. Go out and go to war. Go to war. In other words, go out to war and grow the economy. And it happens to be, you'll look over here, the Marsha has a whole arichos over here, where the Marsha says part of the reason why the economy was not self-sufficient was because that Lemaisa, again, there were invading armies on the border cities. And those invading armies were plundering the border cities. For whatever reason, they had made a conscious decision not to go to war. I guess, logically, yes, because you try to avoid war if you can. At this point, when David HaMelech realizes that the plundering of the border cities is impacting the economy, so at that point in time, he says, okay, go out, go to war. Miyad, so I will say, so what was the process for war? Quite incredible. Miyad, Yotzim b'Achitofel. So we'll say, so in order to go out to war, the first thing they did is they went out to Achitofel. We'll see, Achitofel was the general. Right, he was the head of the armed forces. So the first order of business is develop a war strategy. Vinimlochim b'Sanhedrin. After you have the war strategy, you then ask the Sanhedrin. You can't go to war without the permission of the Sanhedrin. V'sholin b'urim v'tumim. And then ultimately, again, we go ahead and we ask the urim v'tumim. Right, again, consulting of the Kohen Gadol. Amrav Yosef Maikra. What's the pasuk that ultimately, again, indicates this particular order. So the Gemara says, "Dichsev acharei tovel b'nayal ben Yehoyada the Evyasar sartzava lemelach Yoav Achitofel ze." So okay, so let's analyze the pasuk. Achitofel, who is Achitofel? We'll say ze yoetz. This refers to the advisor for war. So the first order of business is you create a strategy. As the pasuk says, "Va'atzas Achitofel ashayas b'amim ahim kasha yishal ish b'divar lokim." Top of Dalud Amud Aleph. Binayo, who is Binayo? Binayo ben Yehoyada, ze Sanhedrin. We'll say Binayo ben Yehoyada. He was the Av Beis Din Rashi says. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. So after you have a strategy for battle, then ultimately again you go to the Sanhedrin to approve the war effort and to approve the battle plan. The Evyasar. Then they go to Evyasar. Who is Evyasar? Elu Urim v'Tumim. We'll say this refers ultimately again to the Kohen Gadol and the asking of the Urim v'Tumim. So the Gemara says, "V'chinu Omer u'binayo ben Yehoyada ala kresi v'al haplesi." So we'll say the pasuk says, "Binayo ben Yehoyada was in charge of the kresi and plesi." What's kresi and plesi? We'll say so. On this, interestingly enough, kresi and plesi is a reference to the Urim v'Tumim. Remember again, the Urim v'Tumim, a reference to the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, the Choshen. Inside the breastplate, there was a fold. Inside that fold was a piece of parchment with the 72-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That piece of parchment essentially acted as the battery for the Urim V'Tumim. Therefore, again, matters of national importance were addressed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Urim V'Tumim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would respond through the Urim V'Tumim. So amazingly enough, so the Gemara says, why they call Valamadek Rishman Kresi Uplesi? Why are they called Kresi Uplesi? The Gemara says, Shekarsim Divreim, Kresi, Shekarsim Divreim. So we'll say Kresi because ultimately, again, Karsim Divreim means their words were very exact. In other words, the Urim V'Tumim gave definitive answers. Placey shemuflan b'divrayim. Placey means because it was just wondrous to receive the word of God, ultimately, again, through the Urim v'Tumim. So the way it would work is as follows, just to understand. They first go to Evyasar, who's in charge of the armed forces. Evyasar gives them the battle strategy. They then go to the Sanhedrin to bless the war effort. You can't go to war without the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin blesses the war effort. After that, they ask the Urim v'Tumim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to be successful. Then what happens? Then the orders go down to the generals. That's Yoav. Va'achakach sartzav l'melech Yoav. So I will say, isn't it incredible, by the way, if you think about this order, right? You would have thought, if you were making the order, what would you have done first? What would you have done first? You would think you would go Urim v'Tumim, Sanhedrin, right? Then Evyasar, and then Yoav. But I will say, you understand the incredible muster. The incredible muster is sometimes in life we think that the first stop when we have a problem is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? If I have a problem, the first stop, and maybe what the Gemara is sensitizing us to, is that sometimes in life when you have a problem, the first question you have to ask yourself is, what can I do about this problem? Right? How can I fix this problem? How can I address this problem? Of course, I have to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing happens at the Ribono Shel Olam. But sometimes we forget about the impact of our own hishtatlus, the impact of our own effort, and we kind of yield the reins in entirety to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the way it really works in life is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do your part. Exercise your hishtadlus, put in your effort to affect change in your circumstances. And when your reach ends, where your reach ends, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's where my reach begins. This incredible synergistic partnership between man and God, which requires man to really begin by putting in maximum effort. Quite incredible. So the Gemara says, Am Rav Yitzchak ben Dravidi, Maikra, Ura Kavodi, Ura Hanebo Vikinor Aira Shacha. So we'll say the Gemara now loops back. So now again, going back, remember the springboard for this entire discussion is Davra Melech's day starts when? When does it start? Chatzos. Chatzos, right. Well, no, it's correct also. It's good. Right, so I'll say, right, Neshef or Chatzos, this is going in Chatzos right now. So the idea being Chatzos, now the Gemara just closes this out by saying, what's the pasuk that supports this idea? Ura Kivodi. Awaken your honor, awaken my honor. Ura Neva Vakinor, I'm awakened by the Neva and the Kinor, Aira Shachar. But say, here's the operative phrase. Aira Shachar, Davar HaMelech says, is I awaken the dawn. How's the time? It was just a reminder that the Tanis starts in just a minute or so. So just, L'chaim. So we'll say, so again, Sa'ira Shachar. Sa'ira Shachar ultimately means what? I will awaken the dawn. I will awaken the dawn. Meaning, in order to awaken the dawn, what has to happen? You have to be awake before the dawn. So that's the raya, ultimately, again, that David HaMelech, again, was up already as of Chatzos. Good. We are on Dalit Amud Aleph 4a, 2, 4, 6, 8 lines. Bosa, I apologize about the discomfort of this setup. We have a committee that has been tasked with finding a better solution. When I say committee, I mean Ari Lerner, and we're working on it. I'm sorry. I know it's uncomfortable. Jose, but please, no one has to stand. I mean, if you want to stand, you could stand. But there are seats. If anybody wants to come up, you could use this front entrance over here and come up. There's tables over here. There's seats over here. I thank you all so much for making the effort today. It is so incredibly overwhelming and heartwarming, and I feel bad. I feel like it's a lack in my hachnasas archim, in my hospitality, that you come and you wake up early in your most nefesh Torah, and I can't give you a comfortable place to sit. But in Yeretz Hashem, we'll figure this out. So the Gemara says as follows: Rabbi Zera Amar, Moshe Rabbeinu Aviyada. So Rabbi Zera says as follows: No, Moshe Rabbeinu knew when Chatzos was. Moshe knew when Chatzos was. V'David, so the Gemara says, V'David nami havayada. David also knew. V'chevan de David havayada kinar lamalei. So the Gemara says, if David knew when Chatzos was, so then why did he need his harp to serve as an alarm clock? So very simply, las uri mishnase. Just because David HaMelech knew when Chatzos was, doesn't mean that what? Doesn't mean that he didn't need help getting up. Right? So the mice again, of course he knew exactly when Chatzos was, but if you're sleeping, you're sleeping. So the Gemara says, V'chivu de Moshe Aviyad al-Amalei v'meimar ki Chatzos. If Moshe Rabbeinu really knew when Chatzos was, then why, when speaking about Makas Bechoros, the last plague to Paro, does Moshe Rabbeinu use this ambiguous lashon of like ki Chatzos at about midnight? Why not say at midnight? Be more explicit. So the Gemara says, amazing. The Gemara says, Kasavar, Moshe, I'm sorry, Lema Kechazos, Moshe Kasavar Shema Yitu Itstagnine Paro, the Yomru Moshe Badaihu. Rabbo said this is an incredible Gemara. What was Moshe Benu concerned about? He was concerned. He knew when Chatzos was. And if he made a declarative statement at Bichatzos, at exact midnight, God's going to come, what's going to happen? Moshe knows when Chatzos is. Who doesn't know exactly when Chatzos is? The Paro's advisors. So on their clock, it's going to be Chatzos, and God didn't come. What are they going to say? Moshe's a liar. Moshe's a liar. And ultimately, again, what that does is it takes down Moshe and his reputation and erodes the greatness of God in their eyes as well. Therefore, we'll say, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? So we'll say, Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us an incredible lesson. A lot of times in life, we go through life, each of us, we all do this. I know that I'm right. I know that I'm right. And very rarely do I go ahead and accept the fact that maybe someone else is right and I'm wrong. So in other words, what happens when a Kadosh Baruch Hu shows up at Chatzos, this Tagnini Paro, the advisors, automatically assume that, of course, they know when Chatzos is. So they must be right, and God must be wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu understood human nature. And human nature is such that even the quote-unquote most open-minded people are usually the most closed-minded people to other opinions. So we'll say, this is just human nature. I'm sure the psychologist could explain what it is. But Lamaise, again, it's amazing. It's what it was, and it's what is. People are usually closed off to new ideas. Moshe Rabbeinu understands this, and therefore, again, he makes his phrase a bit ambiguous and open-ended. Therefore, again, Kichatzos means around Chatzos. I'm not tied to exact midnight, a little bit before, a little bit after. And we'll say the Gemara says is incredible. Domer Mar, we'll say, get ready for this. This incredible Gemara. Lamad Lashon Chalomar Ini Yodea. It is good to teach your tongue to say you do not know. Shema Tisbada Vitochas. Lest you go ahead, look at Rashi. Vitochas is right across. Te ne'echaz benichshal bidvarecha. Lest you be shown to be a liar and ultimately again entrapped in your own words. So we'll say the Maral brings down this Gemara. He says, Lamad lashoncha, teach your tongue to say I don't know. What does it mean teach your tongue to say I don't know? Just say I don't know. We'll say, what does it tell you? That sometimes the three hardest words for a human being to say is I don't know. Because Rabbi say again, we all like to know. Because at the end of the day, we are created B'Tselem Elokim, in the image of God. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all-knowing, right? Omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, he's all of those things. So there's a part of me that wants to be those things also. So to say I don't know is a recognition of the limitations of my humanity. And that hurts, and very often I don't like doing that. Therefore, the Gemara says it's unnatural. It goes against the very grain of your being. Lamad Lashoncha. Something sometimes you have to teach your tongue. You have to teach your tongue a new trick, right? You have to teach your tongue to say any Odessa. Moshe Rabbeinu understood over here, this was different. Moshe Rabbeinu here knew. He understood what had to be done. He understood when Chatzos was, but he also understood that the Istagnini Paro knew or felt that they were right and would not be open to a different opinion. Ravashi said, in fact, what was happening over here is that Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to them on the evening of the 13th going into the 14th, and he said, and what Moshe Rabbeinu was actually saying to Klal Yisrael was, tomorrow night at this exact time. So Kichatzos actually means not around Chatzos, but Kichatzos means at exactly this same time tomorrow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to perform Makas Bechoros. Good. The David Shamar Nafshi Kichatzos. We're also going to speak more about David HaMelech. Incredible. But so we are in Dalet Amud Aleph, third wide line. The David Shamar Nafshi Kichatzos Ani. So we'll say, so David HaMelech quoting over here, the Gemara quoting over here, from Tehillim Perek Pei Vav. So David said, Shamra Nafshi, watch over my soul, ki chasid ani, for I am a pious person. Listen, the Gemara says, Levi v'Rab Yitzchak, chadamar kachamar David HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, what exactly is David HaMelech saying when he says chasid ani, right? What's the statement that's being made? So chadamar kachamar David HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribono shalom lo chasid ani. So David HaMelech was saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, am I not a pious person? After all, again, Shekol Malchei Mizrach U'Mairav, Yushenim at Shaloshos. Kings, one of the perks of being the king is that what? You get to sleep a little bit. So the kings sleep until the third hour into the day. V'ani Chatzos Laila Akum Lehodos Lecha. And me, David HaMelech says, I'm up already at Chatzos, giving you praise. The Idach, the other opinion says, Kachamar David Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Mo Chosid Ani. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Menachem Chosid. After all, Shekol Malchim Mizrach U'Mairiv, Yoshvim Agudos Agudos Bichvodam. You know, kings, who do kings normally like to go ahead and hang out with? Other kings, right? And they have their parties, and they have their royalty, and they keep company with very chashuva people. V'ani, Yodai Meluchlachos Bedam U'Beshafir U'Beshalya Kedei Letayer Isha L'Bayla. And David HaMelech says, literally, my hands are filled with blood, right? The blood of Nida, and the afterbirth, and placentas. What is David HaMelech saying? I'm paskening Taras HaMishpacha Shailas, right? I'm paskening Hilchos Nida Shailas. So we'll say what David HaMelech was saying, this is incredible. What was the greatness of David HaMelech? That although he was the king, he was involved in the plight of the common man. They're using paskening Taras HaMishpacha Shailas over here as a metaphor for what? David HaMelech's involvement in Shalom Bayis, right? David HaMelech says, I'm the king. I'm very important, very chashuv, right? Very important. But at the end of the day, my involvement is still in day-to-day in making sure that my constituents' shalom bayis is intact. V'lo'od, elo kamash ani osa ani nimlach b'mipiboshes rabbi. Now that David HaMelech says, I don't make a move without consulting my Rebbe. Right? My Rebbe mipiboshes. V'amar lo, and I say to my Rebbe mipiboshes, Rebbe, yofet danti, yofet chiyafti, yofet zakisi, yofet taharti, yofet emesi. And it's every, that is incredible. David HaMelech is the king. Not only is he the king, but he's also, again, like the rank, one of the ranking poskim of the nation. I don't paskin a halacha without consulting my Rebbe. And after I do it, I say, Rebbe, did I paskin well? Did I rule correctly? So the Gemara says, Amar Rebbe Shob Breid Ravidi. Mikra, what's the pasuk? V'adabra be'idosecha neged melachim v'lo evosh. So I will say, the pasuk in Tillim that David alludes to this is, God, I spoke regarding your statutes, neged malachim, opposite kings. Now, in this context, the king that David HaMelech is referring to is not himself and not other monarchs, but rather the king that he's referring to is actually his Rebbe, Mipiboshes. That I don't make a move, I don't paskin a halacha without first running it by my Rebbe. Tana, lo Mipiboshes shmo. The truth is, his name, right, David's Rebbe was not actually named Mipiboshes, ela Ish Boshes. Rather, again, his name was Ish Boshes, one of the offspring of Shaul. V'lama nikra shma Mipiboshes. So why was he called Mipiboshes? Shaya mevayish pnei David b'halacha. Because ultimately, again, he would embarrass David HaMelech in halacha. Now, I will say, this doesn't actually mean he would embarrass. It means that he was a much greater Talmud Chacham than David. And when David ultimately, again, would rule incorrectly, his Rebbe would go ahead and correct him. L'fichach zocha David v'yatzei menu kilav. So, very well, listen to this. because David HaMelech, and I will say this is an incredible statement of David HaMelech's humility. David HaMelech is the king. He is a prophet. Yet at the end of the day, number one, he runs his rulings by his Rebbe, by his teacher. And when his Rebbe corrects him, he accepts. You know, we'll say, most of us have difficulty accepting critique or criticism from people even who are much greater than us. But the greatness of David HaMelech was, when his Rebbe corrected him, he accepted it. He accepted it. He was mekabelit. And because of that, ultimately, again, he has a great son by the name of Kilav. V'am Rabbi Yochanan lo Kilav shmo, ela Daniel shmo. David HaMelech's son's name was actually not Kilav, but rather was Daniel. V'am nikr shmo Kilav. So why was he called Kilav? She'im machlin p'nei mipi boshes ba'alacha. But say Kilav, literally, again, literally it means he embarrassed the face of mipi boshes ba'alacha. Which means, ultimately, again, Kilav was even a greater Talmud Chacham than mipi boshes. So in the merit of David HaMelech, in the merit of David HaMelech, humbling himself in front of his Rebbe, he has a son who is even greater in Torah than his own Rebbe. Which I will say, if you think about it, by the way, is an incredible lesson. How do we raise pious children? How do we raise pious children? By demonstrating for them Kavod HaTorah. See, I will say, at the end of the day, showing children what it means to Kavod HaTorah, Kavod HaMidi Chachamim, right? Kavod for teachers. These are things, ultimately, again, that instill within children a profound sense of reverence. And when, you know, again, if children see parents talking negatively about, again, Torah leaders, Torah personalities, it contaminates their souls. But Lamaisa, if a child is brought up in a home of Kavod HaTorah, then again, that's the part of the recipe, ultimately, again, for raising great children. That's what happens with David HaMelech. His son sees the Kavod HaTorah he exhibited towards Mipi Boshas, and ultimately it becomes even greater than Mipi Boshas. Va'alav Amar Shalom B'chachmaso, B'ni, Im Chacham, is he quoting over here the Pasuk from Mishlei? B'ni Im Chacham Libecha, Yismach Libi Gam Ani. Good. So the Gemara goes like, "V'omer chacham b'nei fine, chacham b'nei v'samach libi v'ashiva charfi davar v'David mi kar l'nafshi chassid." So both say this is very interesting. Did David call himself a chassid? Right? It's interesting. David Ramacho call himself a chassid. V'aksiv, but yet the pasuk also says, "Lule hamanta liros b'tul Hashem be'eretz chaim." The pasuk says, "David Ramacho says, Ribono Sha'olam, lule hamanti." If only I could believe that one day I will see the good of God in the land of the living. The Tana Mishrei de Rabbi Yossi, Lama Nakut al Lulei. Why does it say Lulei? Amar David Lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Muftach Ani Becha Shata Meshalim Sachar Tov LeTzadikim. David HaMelech says, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, I know that you're going to give reward to the righteous. Allah said, Lavo Aval Imi Yodei Im Yesh Li Chelik Beinehem In Lav. But I don't know if I'm included amongst the righteous or not. So, Bosse, what do you see from here? You see from here that David HaMelech was in the Subach, right? David HaMelech wasn't sure. Was he righteous or not? So you just said before that David HaMelech called himself a chassid. Pious. Now we're saying that David HaMelech isn't even sure if he's actually pious or not. Bosse, get ready for this. This is incredible. David HaMelech, the Ayah of the Gemara says, Shema Yigra Machit. So Bosse, David HaMelech knew that he was pious. But what was he perpetually concerned about? That maybe he would do something that would create a mistake that ultimately, again, would cause him to lose his standing. See, Rabbosai, one of the hallmarks of great people is that they recognize who they are. They recognize their greatness. But they also recognize that just because you're great now doesn't mean you can't lose it all in the very next second. You see, sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that if you've gotten myself to a particular level, I'm like locked. I'm locked in. I'm good to go. And I will say, it's not true. Shema Yigro Machet says, you could work a lifetime on amassing personalistic holiness. And then just like a person could acquire his world in one moment, a person could lose everything in one moment. David HaMelech knew he was a chassid, he knew he was pious, but he also knew that he was not immune to making mistakes. So he lives his life with this sense, almost the fear, that I've accomplished a lot, but will I make a misstep or a mistake in life that will cost me everything? Kid Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi Ramik Siv, by Yaakov Avinu, Hine Anochi Imcha Ushmarticha B'chol Asher Telech. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Yaakov, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. Uksiv Vayira Yaakov Ma'ot. And yet it says Yaakov was very fearful. So what it says, the obvious Shaila is, if you're getting an assurance from God that God has got your back, right, wherever you go, then what are you afraid of? To which the Gemara says again, Amar Shema Yigra Machit. Yaakov Avinu also afraid. I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has my back. But God having my back is dependent on me towing the line and doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And right now I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but who's to say that I'm going to continue to do that at some time later on? I'm afraid that I will come to make mistakes. I am afraid that I will come to mess up. Kidisanyo, Ad Ya'avor Amcha Hashem, Ad Ya'avor Amzukanisa. So we'll say the Gemara interprets these psukim. Ad Ya'avor Amcha Hashem, when your nation passes over, Zo Biarishona. This refers to Klal Yisrael's entry into the land of Israel, into the land of Canaan, under the leadership of Yehoshua. Ad Ya'avor Amzukanisa, the second entry, Zu Biashnia. That's the coming of Am Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael under Ezra. Mikan Amru Chachamim, Ru'uyi Mahoyu Yisrael, Le'asos Le'amnes B'mei Ezra, Kedech Shenasalam B'mei Yehoshua Benun, Elo She'gara Machet. The Gemara says something amazing. The entry of the Jews into the land of Israel from Bavel, under the leadership of Ezra, should have been as great and as miraculous as the entry of the Jewish people into the land of Israel under the leadership of Yehoshua. Aye, so what changed? So what changed? The chait. Ultimately, again, what changed was the fact that in Bavel they sinned. So we'll say, so you see from here again, that and we'll say, this is, if you think about this, it's an incredible musra as to how you're supposed to live. We should always rejoice in our accomplishments and always give yourself a shkoyach whenever you accomplish something great in life. But never think that your accomplishments are your guaranteed assurance for locked-in success for the future. Recognize that your successes should be celebrated in the moment you experience them, but also be ever vigilant in life. Because know that in any moment, one mistake or one misstep could ultimately cost you everything. So again, the Chachamim say, you could say Shema Tel Chatzos. We'll say back to the Mishnah a little bit. Right? The Chachamim say, only for a little bit. Don't worry. We'll say until Chatzos. The Chachamim say until Chatzos. Chachamim, Kiman Svirlo. So we'll say, so remember, when the Chachamim say that the end time for Shema is until Chatzos, where does that Shita come from? Ik Rabbi Eliezer Svirlohu Lemru Rabbi Eliezer. So remember again, when the Machlokes in the Mishnah, right? Rabbi Eliezer says that you can say Shema until when? Until the end of the first Ashmor, the end of the first watch. We had Rabbi Gamliel who says you could say it until when? Until Alos, until dawn. They also say, now understand that Machlokes, we didn't mention it there, but we'll mention it now. What they're really arguing about is an interpretation of the word B'shach Becha. Everyone agrees that the time for nighttime Shema is B'shach Becha. Shaila is, what does that mean? Rabbi Eliezer says it means, Shema B'cha means you say the nighttime Shema at a time when people normally go to sleep. When do people go to sleep for the night until? Really until the end of the first watch. At that point in time, if you're not sleeping by the end of the first watch, then chances are that what? You're just staying up for the rest of the night. That's B'shach B'cha. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, B'shach B'cha means not at the time that people go to sleep, but rather what? At the time that people are normally sleeping. So therefore, again, when does that go until? That goes until dawn. So we'll say, so the shayla is, the chachamim until chatzos, where does that come from? Ik Rabbi Eliezer, so you look at Lamer Rabbi Eliezer, after like Rabbi Eliezer, then say ultimately again until the end of the first, Tashmora, Amad Beis, Vik Rabbi Gamliel Svirulahu, and if they're like Rabbi Gamliel, that's what? B'shach Becha means what, Rabbi Osai? B'shach Becha means at a time when people are sleeping, then what? Lemru K'Rabbi Gamliel. Then say that K'Rabbi Gamliel and allow Shema to be recited until when? Until dawn. To which the Gemara says, the Olam K'Rabbi Gamliel Sirlu. In reality, the Chachamim say that Allah Chalamaisa, you can really recite the nighttime Shema until dawn. Ay, v'hadika amri ad chatzos. So why do they say until chatzos? K'dei laharchik es ha'adam min ha'aveira. In order to distance a person from sin. They created a protective fence around the biblical mitzvah of nighttime Shema, backed up the time, told you really only until midnight, in order that a person should not go ahead and inadvertently transgress. So we'll say, this is incredible. Listen to this, right? The Chachamim made a protective fence around their words. We'll say, get ready for this. Because what were Chazal concerned about? We'll say, you're going to see, by the way, an incredible description. Because imagine the following scene. A person comes home from work at night. And a person says, you know what? Let me go home a little bit. Ochel kima, I'm going to eat a bit. Eshte kima, I'm going to drink a bit. Isham kima, I'm going to sit on the couch and relax a bit. And then after I eat a little bit, drink a little bit, and just relax a little bit, I will get to Shema. Right? And I will say, what happens? Chotfaso shena, person happens to fall asleep. And when does he wake up? Miraculously, again, the next morning. Boss, it's such a far-fetched scenario. It doesn't. Mamish, where did this ever happen? Where did they grab this stuff out of? So now the Chazal were concerned that we'll say this is the life of the right, the life of the balabas. I come from work. I'm tired. I want to relax a little bit. So again, what ends up happening? You don't end up accomplishing it. We'll say, but understand. Vaba adam in asada. So rather, what did Chazal say? We want it to be like this. Person comes back from work. Nichnas lebeis haknesses. Go to shul. When you come back from home, first thing is go to shul. Imraga likros kore. If you know chumash, learn chumash. Imraga lishno shoni, learn mishna mishna. V'kore kriyashma, lumispalo, davin mariv. Then go home, v'ochal pito. Then go ahead and eat your dinner. Umivarech, say benching. So the idea that Chazal wanted you to do is wanted you to take care of your spiritual obligations first upon returning home. So go ahead, come home from work, davin mariv first, and then go, right, come, well, say first, learn a little bit, Davin Ma'ariv, and then ultimately again enjoy the rest of your evening. I will say, so understand, by the way, what Chazal is describing over here, I will say, is the great danger of life. What's the great danger of life? There are things I know I need to do. Right? Right? Remember again, the metaphor over here is that Kriya Shema, Ma'ariv, represents the thing I have to do. But what happens with so many of the things that I have to do in life? What happens? I fall asleep. And I will say, so many of us end up sleeping through so much of life. And we end up sleeping through so many of the opportunities. Not because I'm bad, not because I don't care, but because I'm tired. And I will say, what's the most fatal mistake in life? The most fatal mistake you can make on any given evening is, don't sit down on the couch. Right? The moment you sit down on the couch, we're done. We're done. That's it. See you tomorrow morning. Right? We're done. I will say, but isn't it incredible? One little innocuous act of sitting down on the couch, and I've lost an entire evening of opportunities. But rather, again, what is it? If you have things you have to do, don't go home and start eating dinner first. Rather, again, before you go home and make yourself comfortable, take care of your business. Do what you have to do to be an accomplished person, to be an accomplished Jew. And then, of course, should you enjoy your evening? 1,000%. But lemaisa, make sure that you don't sit down on the couch of life, fall asleep, and miss out on all of your opportunities. V'chol over derecham chayiv misa. Now, I'll say a dramatic statement. And whoever violates the words of the sages is chayiv misa. Wow. Maishna b'chol duchto delokatani chayiv misa. Maishna diktani chayiv misa. So this is one second. Why don't we find that phraseology or verbiage anywhere else? Right? Over here by Kriya Shema, if you violate the words of the rabbis and you go out and you engage in your own activities and miss Shema, and miss Shema, she'er chayiv misa. Yet we don't find that verbiage by other rabbinic laws. Ibay se mishum de'ika ones shina. Maybe over here because of us, we're dealing against a very powerful force, which is called sleep. Right? And the power of sleep ultimately is overwhelming. Therefore, Chazal had to be very strong in their words. As we're going to see also in the fourth chapter of Brachos, there is a discussion about Ma'ariv, as to whether or not Ma'ariv is obligatory or optional. There is an opinion that says that Ma'ariv is optional. Therefore, Chazal used a very strong lashon over here to highlight the idea that Ma'ariv is not optional, rather obligatory. Amar Mar, Kori Kriyashma Mispalo. So Bosei Mar says, the order of davening is, first we say Shema, and then we say Shmona Esrei. So Bosei, we're going to see what, this is going to be a machlokas. Mesele Rabbi Yochanan, don Rabbi Yochanan. So Bosei, so now, this over here is talking about, well, let's see. Mesele Rabbi Yochanan, don Rabbi Yochanan, Ezu Ben Olam Haba. Bosei, who is a person who has a portion of the world to come? Zasomech Geula Letfila Shel Arvis. This is a person, ultimately, again, who juxtaposes the bracha of Gal Yisrael to Shmona Esrei Ma'ariv. Now, we'll say, we're going to see the concept of Smichas Gula L'Tfila. We are all familiar of this concept of Smichas Gula L'Tfila by Shachris. Everyone agrees with that. That's why I say the bracha of Gal Yisrael, and they go right into Shmona Esrei. And we'll say, that's also why, for example, there's the concept the Shulchan Aruch brings down of saying the bracha of Gal Yisrael together with the Chazan. This way you don't answer Amen to that bracha. That way, again, it's a total juxtaposition between Gal Yisrael and Shmona Esrei. What's that importance? The bracha of Gal Yisrael refers to the historical redemption of the Jewish people from Egypt. God is the Redeemer who redeemed us from Egypt. The goal is that because God redeemed us once, I have confidence asking all of my requests from God in Shmona Esrei. Right? Shmona Esrei is a supplicatory prayer where the essence of it is asking my requests from God. Why do I feel confident asking my requests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because He's come through for me before in the past. He came through for me in Egypt, and I trust Him to come through for me now. That's the concept of Smichas Geula litfila, the juxtaposition of Gal Yisrael to Shmor Aseret. The Gemara now is suggesting that this concept of, that's, by the way, that what I just told you is Rashi. You could look at it inside. Also, that Gemara is now suggesting that concept also applies to Meiriv. If Yerushalm Levi Omer, Tfilos Bam Tzadik. Yerushalm Levi, on the other hand, holds that no, Tfilos, actually, the order of davening Rabosai is different. The order of davening instead is Shema, Shmona Esri of Shachris, Shmona Esri of Ma'arif, right? Well, of course, there's Mincha in there also, but Mincha doesn't have Shema. Shmona Esri of Mincha, Shmona Esri of Ma'arif, and then Shema comes after the Shmona Esri of Ma'arif. That's Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's model. Shema essentially are the prayer bookends of the day, and the Shmona Esrei are in the middle. But my kamiflagi. So what are they arguing about? First of the intermediate wide lines. Ibais emakrav, ibais emesvara. So we'll say, possibly they're arguing on a pasik, possibly they're arguing on logic. Ibais emesvara, the Rabbi Yochanan savra geula me'arta, nami havi, el geula me'al yasla havi ad safra. So what Rabbi Yochanan holds, that even though real redemption from Egypt didn't occur until the morning, right? Nevertheless, the beginning of Geula was at night, and therefore there is the concept of Smichas Geula L'Tfila, juxtaposing the bracha of Gal Yisrael to Shmona Esrei even at night. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Saver, Kevan de Lohavi Alamitzafra, Lohavi Geula Me'al Yosef. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, no, redemption from Egypt occurred by day and not at night. Therefore, the concept of Smichas Geula L'Tfila only applies by day and not at night. B'Bayi Zemekra, the other possibility is they're arguing about a pasuk. And they both dash in the same pasuk. To save b'shach b'chav kumecha. Both say it's incredible. They dash in b'shach b'chav kumecha. When do you say Shema? When you go to sleep and when you get up. Rabbi Yochanan savar makish shchiva l'kima. Rabbi Yochanan says we equate going to sleep and waking up. How so? Makima, or I should say, we equate going to sleep to waking up. Makima kriyas shema va'achar kach tefila. Just like in the morning, what comes first? Shema comes first, then Shmona Esrei. So too in the evening, we'll follow the same process. Shema first, and then Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi savar, makish shchiva l'kima. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, no, we go ahead and we equate going to sleep with waking up. Makima kriya shema, meaning same idea, but a different comparison. Makriya shema, makima kriya shema samach l'mita. So just like when you wake up, Shema is closest to getting up, or as you say, Shema, closer to when you got up than Shmona Esrei. So the Gemara says, "Af shchiva nami kriyas Shema samach l'mitaso." So too, when you go to sleep, what's the idea? To recite Shema as close to going to bed as possible as well. So both say, so fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. Ultimately, again, really comes out, everybody agrees that by Shachris, of course, it's Shema and then Shmona Esrei. The Shaila is, by Ma'ariv, is it Shema and then Shmona Esrei, or is it Shmona Esrei and then Shema? Two different versions of the Machlokas, one verse based on Svara, on logic, the other based, ultimately, again, on the Pasuk. So Gemara says, 1 second, Masiv Mar, Brei Dravino, Be'erev Mevarech Shtayim Lefaneu Shtayim Lachareha. So remember again, we'll see later on that the Mishnah says that for the evening Shema, we recite two brachas before it, two brachas before Shema, two brachas after Shema. Ve'i amrit bay lismoch haloka samach gul l'tfila da bay lemeimer hashkivenu. Says, you know, one second, you have a big problem. What's the big problem? The big problem is, you're telling me now that on Ma'ariv there's a concept of smichas gul l'tfila, of juxtaposing the bracha of Gal Yisrael ultimately to Shmona Esrei. We don't do that by Ma'ariv. We'll say, after all, again, what's the bracha we have after Gal Yisrael by Ma'ariv? We have another paragraph called Hashkivenu. Forget about in Chutzlars that we also have Baruch Hashem the Olam, right? Forget about that, but we have Hashkivenu. And Hashkivenu, by definition, is an interruption between the bracha of Gal Yisrael and Shmona Esrei. Both incredible. Amri, Kevan de Takin Rabbanan Hashkivenu, ki geula arichta damya. Ultimately, and since the rabbis instituted the bracha of Hashkivenu, Hashkivenu is considered to be like a prolonged form of geula. A prolonged form of geula. They were supposed to say, so in order, since the rabbis instituted it, it's considered to be, again, a prolonged form. We'll discuss what that means. Dilo temahachi, because the Gemara says, so we have that problem by Shachris also. What happens by Shachris? Dilo temahachi, Shachris heichi masi samich. But this problem by Shachris also is smichas gula tefila. What's the problem with smichas gula tefila by Shachris? V'am Rabbi Yochanan betchila omer, Hashem sefasai tiftach ulebasov omer yule ratzonim reifi. The yule ratzon is not the problem. But what's the problem? Hashem sefasai tiftach ufiyagiti lasecha. That interrupts between the bracha of Gal Yisrael and Shmona Esrei. Ela hasam kevan de takin rabbanu lemeimar Hashem sefasai tiftach ketfila arich de damya. Rather, since the rabbis instituted that we should say Hashem sefasai tiftach, it's considered to be like a prolonged form of geula. Therefore, again, says the Gemara, Ach and Ami Soto by Myriv, Kevon de Takin Rabbanu Lemeimar Ashkivenu, Ki Geula Arich de Damya. Since the rabbis instituted that we should say Ashkivenu, is considered to be like a Geula Arich. Rabbi Sarah, I believe Yitzhak Abedichev says so beautifully in beginning of Parshas Ve'eschanon, that ultimately, again, he says the concept of Hashem Safasai Tiftach Uf Yagiti Lasech is learned out from the Pasuk in Ve'eschanon, Ve'eschanan El Hashem Ba'esahi Lemor. Moshe then says, I supplicated to God at that time saying, right, that's where Moshe Rabbeinu asked to come into Eretz Yisrael. And the Rebbe says, the word Leymar is extra. So what is Leymar, says the Rebbe? It's the Tfilah Lifnei HaTfilah. It's the prayer before the prayer. That's where Chazal get the concept of Hashem Safas I Tiftach Ufi Agiti Lasech. Kosh Baruch Hu, open my lips, right? Open my mouth and let my lips sing your praise. That is the prayer before the prayer. I will say, expressing the incredible idea that even to daven to God, I need God. There is nothing I can do in life without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I will say, just I have to end now, but you'll see the incredible bookends of our Gemara. On one hand, how did today's daf start? Today's daf started with how you go to war. How do you go to war? What's the first step in war? What's the first step in war? Right? First step in war is battle plan. Battle plan is shtadlus. And yet, how do we end the daf? I can't even daven without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So I have to make my battle plan, but yet I can do nothing without God. I can't even pray to God without asking God for help. So we'll say, which one is it? Is it that I have to start my initiatives in life with my ashtadlus, my battle plan, or my totally and wholly reliant on God? And the answer is yes. Right? The answer is yes. So we'll say, this is the incredible dialectic that we live with. On one hand, again, I must put in my effort. And it's not fair to put everything on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to put my ishtadlus. But at the same time, while I'm putting in maximum ishtadlus, I also recognize that nothing, even the davening that we're about to do, gets off the ground unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills it so.